Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the Gavin Huber Show. My guest today is William Gibson. And I think I just came across you a couple of days, and I just thought I was seeing you on Instagram. I just loved your content and thought, hey, I have to have you on the show. What is your content, and why do you think so many people are attracted to it at the moment?
A little bit about my background. So I'm a personal trainer. I'm a holistic health coach. I help people with trauma and addiction. So my content is kind of around that, but also kind of what's going on in the world, the information we get from mainstream media. I research everything and kind of put the truth out there. Just to give people that information, basically. So it's all around about health, how to optimize your health, how to improve your mental health, the toxins and chemicals that we're exposed to, how to protect your body, natural supplementation, and yeah, just kind of getting my truth out there and the actual truth of what's going on to kind of counter a lot of the lies in the world.
And it does seem like not just you, but a lot of people that have similar content to yours are really popping up over social media at the moment. Why do you think so many people are more tending to the, let's call it the more alternative side of medicine, of health, of the media in general?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of trust has been lost in government agencies, the medical field, the pharmaceutical industry, especially what's happened over the last couple of years. Telling us things are safe and effective, they're not working properly, they're having to take three, four, five of certain things, which we won't mention. And I just think people have lost a lot of trust in government agencies and the health field in general because of what's happened in the last year and last couple of years. And people are just waking up to it. It's always been there. It's always been there. The corruption, the lies, the manipulation. It's just that the veil's dropped and they're basically not really hiding it anymore, and it's just there for everybody to see. So I think more and more people are kind of waking up to the lies that we've been living.
And when did you start researching the alternative side? Was it from the school,
Oh,
or did you just recently get into that?
no. So I'm 44 years old, and I've been very much awake since I was about 14. So probably around about 30 years. And it was actually one of my friend's books. I was at my friend's house and I came across a book, and it was a book by a gentleman called Aleister Crowley, The Book of Thelema. And it's all about the occult and things like that. And I was like fascinated by it. And after that, I started researching, looking into kind of ufology, parapsychology. And it kind of led on to that. Then I started looking at kind of secret societies. And then obviously I was into health when I was younger and started researching around kind of alternative health, like where we're fed. And a lot of it isn't actually the truth. I've actually just created a video before I came on here about how like our grandparents and great grandparents, they didn't diet, they smoked, they drank, they were fought in wars, and they lived to like 80, 90 years old. But these days, people seem to be have poor mental health, poor physical health. And I think it's being exposed to a lot of the toxins and chemicals within our environment, processed food. I seen a study a couple of weeks ago. Since 1960, there's an extra 100 plus thousand chemicals that we're exposed to that we weren't then. And I think kind of you see in kind of the industrialization of processed food, seed oils, that's where you're seeing the kind of the rise in physical mental health disease. I don't really believe in hereditary disease. Maybe there might be issues with people's genetics, but I think environmental pulls the trigger. I think it's to do with environment. I believe it's what we put into our body, what we're exposed to. So that's kind of what my field of work. I help people to kind of biohack this is how you can protect your body. This is what this is probably doing. So yeah, that's how I kind of got into it.
So you think the idea that we can get diseases from, let's say, viruses or genes might be a bit outdated or might be not the entire truth?
Yeah. I believe that there is obviously airborne diseases, diseases that we can catch through bodily fluids intravenously. But I don't think this kind of narrative we've been fed that my mum had diabetes, that's why I've got diabetes. I think it's more generational learning. So we kind of do what our parents do. A lot of people. So it's kind of, it's behaviors. It's how the food we eat, the kind of the way we socialize, if we party and drink, that kind of thing that affects, because we learn from our parents, right? So like my mum, she cooked, she was a very good mum. I learned some of my skills from her, which some of them were good, some of them were bad. So I got rid of the bad ones, but a lot of people don't understand the information and education around nutrition. So they kind of, that's how I think it happens. And then environmental, from a lot of the chemicals and things we're exposed to, can have a great effect also.
And where do you think we're currently at in the general health? I would maybe limit it, let's say, the Western society, because I think most people listening to this podcast will be part of the Western society. What is the current overall health, and what factors contribute to that?
Overall health at the moment. So I just did a video. So in America last year, there was 300 million prescriptions for disease and mental health prescribed, 75 million for ADHD. I think the medical field in the West especially are a little bit too quick to diagnose and put a bandage over the bullet wound rather than getting to the root of the symptom. And all that does, so the medication is good, a lot not very good. So it's not getting to the root of the problem. So I think that's a factor. Over prescribing, too quick to prescribe and diagnose, but also diet, processed food, seed oils as well. So seed oils are like ultra processed seed oils, like vegetable oil, canola oil, rapeseed oil. It was actually created as an engine lubricant at the turn of the century, and they were actually using seed oils, rapeseed oil, during World War II. And it's a byproduct, it's a waste product. And so these big companies, how can we get it out into the market? So they sold it to the general population as something healthy, margarine, sunflower oil, vegetable oil, and it causes huge health issues. You can, if you look at the graphs of when it was introduced and the percentages of how much processed food and seed oils people are consuming, the kind of rise in obesity, heart disease, and everything else rises with that. Seed oils as well also affect the hormones, the highly inflammatory to the body. Inflammation and lack of oxygen is the driver of all disease. That's what I believe anyway.
And when you mentioned seed oils, are there any seed oils that you would consider putting in your diet, or none at all?
Yeah. So not all seed oils are bad. So ultra industrial seed oils. So I'll tell you that how they do the process. So they get the seed oils. It's a kind of a byproduct. It's a waste product. They heat it up to 400 degrees. It becomes rancid. So it smells. They have to perfume it to get the odor away. They have to bleach it, and then they add it to foods. The rapeseed oil, they use it as, they say it's a preservative, and round about 5% of people's diets in the West are seed oils. So seed oils that are good, any seed oils that are cold pressed are not really bad for you. Some are that are really high in omega-6 fatty acid. So it's all about, you get seed oils that are high in omega-3 and will have some omega-6 in, but it's all about the balance. So too much omega-6 in the body causes inflammation and passes the blood-brain barrier and all other stuff. So seed oils that are good and I would recommend is something called black seed oil. It comes from the Nigella sativa plant, and it's been used for thousands of years as a medicine. Nefertiti, Cleopatra used it. It was found in Tutankhamun's tomb. The Prophet Muhammad in the Quran actually quoted, said, he says, black seed oil is the healer of all things except for death. And there's a compound in it called formiquione. And you can go on to PubMed. So PubMed, for anybody watching this, is published medical research. And if you put formiquione, can it help with XYZ? So obesity, liver, anti-cancer. And it's like a wonder compound for healing.
Yeah, I'll put that in the bio as well then. And if you don't use seed oils, let's say for cooking, I mean the highly processed ones, like maybe sunflower oil or something like that, what would you use for cooking?
So ghee, so it's like Indian butter. So ghee, you can use extra virgin olive oil at low temperatures. Grass-fed cow's butter, another one. Avocado oil, you have to get a good avocado oil. Around about 60 to 70% of avocado oil will have seed oils added to it. And another one is cold-pressed coconut oil. It's like that's like a wonder food. That's like that's a really, really good thing to use. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about coconut oil as well. So cold-pressed coconut oil, you can actually use it to whiten your teeth. You can use it as mosquito repellent. You can use it as a hair conditioner. If you get zinc oxide, you can add it to it and use it as sunscreen. It also, if you consume a little bit of it each day with some raw carrots, it binds to excess estrogen in the stomach. So we get estrogen buildup in the bile in our stomach from products we use. So like deodorant, like I don't know what kind of deodorant you have over in your country, Gabriel, but over here, like Lynx, Sure, things like that, they have something in it called parabens and phthalates. So parabens replicate estrogen and phthalates block hormones. And we also get estrogen in drinking water, in the foods and all that kind of stuff. So we get a buildup of it in the stomach. Too much of the hormone estrogen, especially in women, can cause all sorts of issues, from thyroid issues, perimenopause, menopause, night sweats, restless leg syndrome. In men, it lowers testosterone. Obviously, it affects the cognitive function, brain fog, all of that kind of stuff. So you can use coconut oil, raw carrot, a little bit of that each day, binds to the estrogen in the stomach and pulls it out. Another thing you can use to do that as well is collagen. Collagen also does the same thing.
Okay. And now you've also mentioned, of course, the testosterone decline now in men, of course, not just because of the estrogen, but why do you think that's such an important issue to be looking at?
Is that a big subject, that one? So over the last 20 years, testosterone levels have declined 50% in young men. So the average 20-year-old today has the same testosterone levels as a 70-year-old man in the year 2000. Like literally as a 70-year-old man, it's crazy. And what's affecting men's testosterone levels are some of the things that I've already mentioned. Processed food, environmental factors like deodorants, chemicals in products that we'll use in the house. Also like scented candle, like just we're being bombarded by toxins and chemicals that have these things in it called parabens and phthalates that affect the endocrine system. That's why there was a study that came out of America. It was actually a report of a study that when women go to get checked when they've got cancer, the first thing that the doctors tell them to do is start using organic makeup. The makeup contains toxins, chemicals, parabens, phthalates. So they know what it is that's causing these issues that are wrecking women's hormones and causing all of these diseases. Parabens and phthalates are linked to all, like you name it, it's linked to all different types of diseases. So one of the things that is tanking men's testosterone levels is tap water. Mm-hmm. From the tap, it's got pesticides in it, it's got pharmaceuticals in it, all different other stuff. So women take birth control pills, They go to the toilet, they excrete into the toilet. The water is a recyclable commodity. It goes to the water treatment plant. It gets treated. The hormones are still in the water. It comes back to the tap. Most people, around about 87% of people still drink tap water, unfiltered water. It's real estrogen in the tap water, as well as other pharmaceuticals and other things. There was another study in the UK, and they were finding high traces of cocaine in the water from people using recreational drugs at the weekend, going to the toilet, and people, it's still in the, they can't get it out of the water. They don't treat it to get it out of the water. So this is a huge factor. Also, pesticides. So some countries in Europe still use it. It's called glyphosate. And in America, they use glyphosate and something called atrazine. Atrazine was shown, they did an experiment where they exposed male frogs to atrazine, and 90% of the frogs turned intersex. Either they turned male, female, or they actually turned female and could start producing spawn being exposed to atrazine. It's a pesticide they put on the fruit and veg and all that kind of stuff. Also, what affects testosterone levels is genetically modified food. Genetically modified food affects testosterone. It also affects fertility. And there's hundreds of studies out there that shows that. In the UK, around about 30% of fish in British waterways are also intersex, both male and female. And that's to do with the pesticides and everything going into the water. Also in water, so veterinary estrogen that they use to bring the animals in and out of season. The animals obviously excrete a lot of urine and feces into the land that they're on. The groundwater goes into rivers, lakes. We use that water for drinking. The hormones are still in it as well, and we're consuming that. So we get bombarded, really.
And where would you get your tap water from? I mean, not your tap water, but where would you get your water from? Because I know I've seen you also talk about fluoride as well. Fluoride. And I mean, because I think people still think, okay, fluoride is good for the teeth, right? I mean, it can't be that bad. It's good for the teeth. You put in the toothbrush. But is fluoride really that good for the teeth either?
No. So we've been told that fluoride's good for teeth, but certain countries in the world have actually banned fluoride. They actually use fluoride in concentration camps during World War II, the Nazi concentration camps. And they used this because they found, obviously they were doing a lot of human experiments, and they found that fluoride dumbs people down and also makes them more controllable. There's a study that came out of Mexico, I think it was about 10 years ago, and they seen that when women were exposed to fluoride, so having fluoride in their water, toothpaste and all that kind of stuff, there was a correlation between lower IQ in the babies and when the babies, it was a kind of a 2-3-4 year study. But fluoride, if you see how they actually put fluoride into the water system, they have to wear full chemical suits, gas masks. There was an accident in the UK a few years ago, and he had a truck that was transporting fluoride, it was like an oil tanker truck, and it crashed. They had to cordon off the whole area for like about 6 days because of the fluoride. But how that's meant to be good for us. It's definitely... You can go out there and look for information, and you'll find a lot of places saying it's really good for you. But if you go to alternative holistic people who are kind of looking into this, it's not good. It also, there's studies into it as well that it actually calcifies the pineal gland in the brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why is that important, the pineal gland?
Well, from ancient civilization, say the pineal gland is kind of our sixth sense. Some other cultures and civilizations say it's our way to connect with God, with the spiritual realm. I don't know 100% what the pineal gland actually does and how it affects us, but calcifying anything within the body is not healthy.
And going back to the testosterone thing as well, because I've heard you talk about pornography as well being a big issue among young men these days. I mean, not just young men, also older men. How does watching pornography affect testosterone levels or just the health in general, especially of guys?
So masturbating is, it has a psychological impact and also has a physiological impact. So if somebody was to masturbate like a lot of young men do, 2-3 times a day, their sperm count wouldn't return to the same amount as if they weren't. About, I think it's a few weeks, I'm not 100%, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it lowers fertility. Also, people who watch porn, the psychological impact on it, when people masturbate and they're watching porn, whether they know it or not, there's shame attached to it, and we bury that. What it also does as well, it releases dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin. So dopamine is a feel-good hormone. So when people are using pornography and masturbation, they're constantly getting dopamine hits. So when they actually something normal that gives them enjoyment and pleasure, they won't have the same levels of dopamine release. It depletes the body. Also, so the oxytocin is the bonding hormone. So you're watching something that's on a screen, you get the oxytocin release because it's a physical person. Obviously, it's 2D and it's on the screen, but it also depletes the oxytocin. So when people who watch porn or maybe addicted to porn go on to have relationships, because the oxytocin's really depleted, they haven't got the same amount of bonding. So what they would get out of a relationship if they weren't watching porn, they wouldn't get the same bonding experience. They'll feel like she's not giving me what I need. They wouldn't have the connective hormones on the same level. The lady probably would, but the man would feel this. I feel that I'm not getting what I need, and he will end up going looking elsewhere, whether it be back through porn to get that kind of immediate oxytocin hit, dopamine hit.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're also part of a mental health institute as well. Can you tell us about why do you also go into the mental health section?
So I suffered with a lot of mental health in my, for about 20 years, I had really bad mental health. I would hide it. People, my friends and family never knew about it. I was very shameful of it, and I would hide it. And I shouldn't really be here from like how bad it was. I took like overdoses and all sorts of stuff. I had to get brought back to life. So I've done a lot of work on myself. I've had a lot of counseling. I had some amazing mentors who are amazing counselors. And I learned the skills of how to really work through my past. And I understood why I was the way I was, and being able to overcome that and then work on myself all the time and become a better person, a better member of society, a better husband and friend. I had all these skills and I wanted to be able to give that back. So during lockdown, I created a men's mental health charity called refuel.org. I'm the founder of it. I've moved away from that now. I'm doing some other things now. My friend Nick, he's still taking that and helping guys all over the country, some in other countries as well. And there was just a huge need for it. I think there's a, especially over like lockdown, that's what went when I actually created it, was lockdown. I was doing a lot of consultations like this with people about fitness and things like that. And more and more men I was coming across, I was just, because I've got counseling skills, I can tell if someone's struggling. And probably about 70-80% of the people I was speaking to were really struggling mentally. Some of them couldn't afford to do my program. So I created like a WhatsApp group, and I put all the guys in there. So if they needed any advice, a safe place to speak, I was there for them. I'd share little bits about my life. So men as well, they're not very good at opening up. So a good way to help somebody open up is that I'm a masculine man, I'm a strong man. but I can also get vulnerable. I can also talk about my past. This is how I was. This is where I am now. And it gives them the vehicle and opened the door for them to start talking about their issues. That kind of grew. So we started doing weekly Zoom meetings where I'd come on Zoom and I'd talk about all different subjects about mental health, from anxiety, addiction, self-harm, but I'd also talk about self-development, how to build discipline and routine mindset. And then that kind of grew. My friend come on board, he designs websites. And I was like, we can take this a step further. So we started having people coming on, sharing testimonies. And then my friend, he created a website for refuel.org, and it kind of grew from there. And now we've had guys come on board with us who have been sexually abused, addiction, and some of those guys have actually went on and they're now helping other men do the same thing. So it's been amazing.
And anybody listening that says, okay, they might have also, of course, due to the last 3 years of what, you know, I think everybody's been through on whatever side you were on of the issue, what do you think is the best thing for especially young people to do to get back to having the life they want to live and also feeling the way they want to feel?
Stop watching the news. Stop watching TV and the news, the fear mongering. Shut off from that. Just start working on yourself. Look, like we a lot of young men especially and women, they live their life by comparison. So they're always on social media. They're looking at other people's Instagrams, relationships. If I get this XYZ car, money, power, it's going to make me feel better. It doesn't. What makes you feel better is working on discipline, working on routine, working on mindset, building those things each day. Keep promises to yourself. Don't break those promises. Just set realistic goals and targets, and then just 1% better each day. There's a great book by a guy called James Clear. It's called Atomic Habits, and he always talks about 1% better. And that's literally all you have to do. Just be a better version of yourself than you were yesterday. And within a year's time, you'll be 37 times better than when you started. And it could be a simple routine as when you get up in the morning, first thing you do, make your bed. Go and like brush your teeth straight away, wash your face, get your room in order. I'm very much into really a tidy environment. I believe if your environment is messy, your head will be messy as well. You tidy your environment up, your head will be tidier.
And I know maybe we shouldn't go here, but of course the last 3 years have been, you know, very controversial on a lot of different sides. I think more and more people are moving, I think, to one side of the issue than maybe weren't before. But why do you think that the public bought into the narrative of staying at home, locking themselves down, not going out with friends, not going to the parks, not, you know, letting their children play with other children? Why did so many people buy into that narrative?
The same, like what I just mentioned, the psychological indoctrination from seeing people falling down in the street, seeing all of these hospital beds filled, seeing these body bags being taken out, and it wasn't actually real. So people are easier to control and more malleable if they are scared. Fear is what kills people. And it's easy. It's a psychological operation. They've been using this. There's a guy called Bernay. I can't remember his first name. Edward Bernay, I think his name is. And he's the father of propaganda during World War II. And they used kind of those techniques. If you repeat something over and over again, if you see something over and over again, people will believe it eventually. I think there's a quote by actually Hitler saying that. Like if we tell them and we say the same thing over and over again, people will eventually believe it.
Yeah. And what do you think the lockdowns especially did to the health of the population?
Huge, huge damage to people's mental health. Huge damage. We are social creatures. So we are meant for connection. We're meant to value relationships. Conversations, going out into nature, not looking at artificial light all the time. And when people are isolated and they're being bombarded continuously when they're sitting in front of waiting for the next news report, seeing all these numbers of deaths every day going up. Most people, if they are not critical thinkers, believe it. And even the people now that are still kind of brainwashed a little bit, because that's what it is. It's a form of mind control. They have something called cognitive dissonance. They know deep down that something's not right, but because they've given themselves in to the narrative and maybe took something that they didn't want to take, they can't come out of agreement with it. And that's what you're seeing. You'll see people, no matter what, I'm right, because it's a form of psychosis.
And let's talk about the things that people took, the jabs. Do you think, how do people, or let's first of all address the people that thought it was good for them and still think it's good for them. What would you say to those people?
It's 100% not good for you. 100%. I've helped and spoke to hundreds of people, and I personally know 15 people who are not here, who are dead from taking it. Young people. Vibrant, young, healthy people who are not here. I've spoken to hundreds of people who have been injured. My wife has a condition called PNH. It's a very, very, it started off as aplastic anemia, which is kind of a blood leukemia. She's very healthy. She's absolutely fine. She's part of a group with people with the same condition in there giving advice and encouragement. She was seeing people taking the jab and then having the blood leukemia. And some of the people that was in the group are not here anymore as well. A lot of them are gone. And I put a post up on my Instagram, and it's on about 6.6 million views. And if anyone goes to my Instagram, it's @trad, TRAD underscore Will, WILL. And it was a post about Pfizer. Some of the information is out there for every documented information that anyone can go and look at. And it got over 6 million views. It's been up for a couple of days now. And in the comment section, the amount of people who have lost people, who have injured, who have got myocarditis, pericarditis, strokes, just you name it, young, fit, healthy people who are into CrossFit. There's some doctors in there that have been injured as well. So it's had a huge detriment on people's health. And it affects so, so much of people's health. They've actually come up with a new term for some of the new cancers that are turned up. They're calling it turbo cancer, and it's happening in young men. Yes, it's very, for the people who haven't been affected by it, I think it's like, I think a lot of people have. There's a doctor, he's a famous cardiologist, Dr. Peter McLaughlin. They did a study of 300 people who have been, who have taken the vaccine. 50% of them had something wrong with them. 50%.
But do you think, I've heard that there might have been three different types of vaccines they rolled out, so some were more lethal than others. Do you agree with that? Do you think that happened?
Yeah, there's a doctor in Poland, and he's looking into this, and he would get batches of the vials of the COVID vaccine from Moderna, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and he would test the different batches, and some of them actually had saline in. Mm. It was like a placebo. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they would do that if they were given that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. So maybe so it didn't affect. I really don't know. But I think there is like placebos with them.
And what would you tell the people that have taken it, have realized it's bad, maybe have gotten injured a bit as well? Are there any ways to detox from this, or to at least get a little bit of the health back, or to protect from the damages?
Yes, yeah. So I've helped, I still help people that are vaccine injured. At the moment, I help them detox from it. So the American physician, Association of American Physicians, they have been doing studies, and there's released peer-reviewed papers that shows that there's two compounds that work together to degrade the spike protein. So the mRNA, the technology from the vaccine, basically, it puts coronavirus into the system. The Spike protein from the coronavirus attached to the white blood cell and other tissues in the body causes inflammation. It causes the immune system to attack itself. So there's two compounds. One of them is called natokinase. It is an enzyme that comes from fermented soy. And another compound is called bromelain. This is another this is a compound that comes from the bottom of pineapples. These two things together have been shown to degrade the spike protein, leaving the white blood cell intact. And then you want to take something to help manage the inflammation. People are using turmeric, but you can use all different types of things for inflammation. And then just look at kind of diet as well. So anything that causes inflammation in your diet, like some of the things I mentioned, seed oils, processed food, start filtering your tap water, start eating more fruit and veg, red meat. Another thing as well with your fruit and veg, I'll give you another tip as well, fruit and veg. So most fruit and veg are sprayed with pesticides, even organic. So we wash them with water. Most pesticides are oil-based, so it doesn't get the pesticides off the fruit and veg. So what you can do to get the majority of the pesticides off the fruit and veg is rinse them with water, fill up a basin or a sink, put the fruit and veg into it, get white vinegar that you would put on food, and then bicarb soda, 2 tablespoons of bicarb soda, 15 to 20 milliliters of white vinegar, put it into the water, swirl your finger, let it sit in there for about 5 minutes. I leave mine in for about 10 minutes and it'll pull a lot of the pesticides off, and then rinse again. And it's a lot healthier option, way to consume food.
Okay, great. And let's say they come around this winter or the next and say they want to do it again, you know, the same lockdowns, the same masks, the same routines. What would you tell people to do in those times?
Do your research, use your critical thinking. Don't buy into the fear mongering. And me personally, I didn't do it last time. I won't do it this time. I wore a mask a couple of times getting into shops because with my wife and stuff like that. But you don't have to comply. We only give them the power if we comply to their control mechanisms, what they want us to do. You just have to say no. People have to come together. Like, this is what happens in society as well. They're always playing cultures and groups against each other, because it's the old age-old tactic of divide and conquer. But it's not us against them, like one people group or another people group. It's them, the elitists, against the normal people. They call us useless eaters. They see us as a commodity. They don't see us as people. Do you have no? It's all about power, money, control. Power, money, control, and other things that I won't mention that they're doing as well, like nefarious stuff.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. Where can people find you?